Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that that day may catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. And give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have indeed been very pleased, as I said with the children this morning, very, very, very pleased at the beauty of this fall, of this autumn season. Usually in Texas it goes from being green and hot and icky to being cold and the leaves falling right off the trees without changing color. I mean, really. This year, however, we've had the joy of seeing what they normally see back east and up north a little ways, the trees going from green to red to various shades of brown and yellow and orange, depending on the tree. The various panoply of colors on the tree is incredible. The beauty of these trees are incredible. And I was noticing as I was driving back and forth from Dallas this past weekend how beautiful the trees were en route. They were gorgeous. Usually you have to go out to Virginia and up north and drive south to watch the leaves change. But this year we've been rejoicing in the beautiful autumn that God has given us. And it reminds me truly that times do change, that we do move from one season to the next, that we're not always stuck in summer, that we're not always stuck in the same season of the year, that we're not always stuck in the same time. And that is very true for the seasons of the church year as well, because this is the first Sunday of Advent, a time of change, of transformation, of new beginnings, of an opportunity to look forward to a new year and a new beginning with God. The season of Advent has two basic messages. The first message is the message we're hearing today right here in the gospel lesson. We begin Advent by proclaiming that Jesus Christ is going to come. that the kingdom of God is going to be manifested here on earth with the coming of the Son of Man, that the kingdom of God has been and will be established here on earth in our midst and in our vision here today. The first message of Advent, that message we begin Advent with, is actually the end of the story. We begin the new church year with Advent, and we begin the season with the end of the whole story, the return of Christ in glory. Now, as we move through the season of Advent, we'll see the theme shift from the coming of Christ in glory, his return, to the theme of his initial coming, the first Advent, if you will. That coming as a baby, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. The incarnation of God in our midst. The birth of our Savior and our Redeemer. Advent ends with the beginning of our story as Christians. Advent ends with the beginning of our story of faith, with the incarnation of God in our midst. So we begin with the ending, the coming of Christ in glory, and we end the season with the beginning, his incarnation. Interesting, we've inverted it, but we've done it for a reason. Because his return in glory, the establishment of his kingdom here on earth in our midst today, the establishment of the rule of God among us, is made possible by his first coming in that little manger out behind that Motel 6 in Bethlehem. My brothers and sisters, the story of Christmas, many people think of as one of the central stories of the Christian faith. And it is indeed an important story to proclaim that Jesus Christ is God made present in our midst. But if we divorce that from his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, and his coming in glory to be with us, then we're missing the whole story, my friend. So we begin with the ending. This Jesus, this King, this Messiah, this Son of Man, whom we will see, whom the whole world will see, and proclaim as King, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be born. Was born in the lowest estate. The son of a young woman, 16 maybe, or younger maybe, just barely able to have children, a virgin girl, betrothed, not yet married, to an older man, a carpenter, a man of economic income, but a man of no great economic wealth, a man of who worked with his hands to fashion furniture or other items of wood, a carpenter. Not the son of a prince or a king, not the son of a great prophet, not he doesn't have the advantage of being the son of one of the high priests. He has the disadvantage of being born of a simple laborer. Not exactly where you expect to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet we begin this season by proclaiming his coming in glory against the backdrop of the end of this season. His birth. His humble birth. As I like to say, in a garage. How real is this to you? How real is this story to you today? How real is the concept that Jesus is coming? I mean, we really are divorced from the idea. I was channel surfing the other night, a very dangerous thing to do, and I came across one of them preachers. I won't name him, but you probably figure it out when I tell you what he said. He said he had figured out who the Antichrist was, and when the Antichrist was going to gain power, and when the world was going to come to an end, and when Jesus was going to return, and when the Battle of Armageddon was going to be. He actually had dates for it, my friends. Then no one remembers the fact that back in 1980 he said the same thing but had different dates and different people. The temptation is great that when you see signs of the coming of the kingdom of God, when you see signs of warning, when you see the trees start to bloom, you go, aha, I've identified the person. But that kind of identification has been going on for almost 2,000 years, my friends, as people have been wondering who this might be and what might happen next. No. Looking at the scriptures, looking at this particular passage, for example, in that way is a mistake. What was Jesus talking about when he said here in the Gospel of Luke, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place." What generation was he speaking of? Was he speaking of today? No. Which generation was he speaking of? Was he speaking of the generation in which he lived? The context would seem to indicate that that's correct. Well, if that's true, then there are two possibilities. Either Jesus was mistaken about what was going to happen immediately next, because the kingdom of God, according to many people, is not yet on the world. God is not in charge. And Jesus is wrong. And I know that just gives me the scrunchies just to say that. But that's one possible interpretation here. Jesus was mistaken, because every member of that generation to whom Jesus was speaking is dead. I don't know too many 1970-year-old people today, do you? No. Everyone to whom Jesus was speaking is now dead. They no longer live on this world. So either Jesus was mistaken, or he meant something a little different than the literal meaning of these words. He had a different concept in mind of the kingdom of God. And what might that have been? I have been saying now for the last several months that the kingdom of God is here among us today. Indeed, last Sunday I said that this is an embassy of the kingdom of God. That this church, that this community of faith, that this body of Christ is indeed the kingdom of God in this world, and that all those who proclaim Christ as their Lord and Savior are ambassadors of Jesus in this world. This is a consulate, an embassy of the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is the kingdom of God in this world. We are the foretaste. We are the promise. We are the embodiment. We are indeed the embassy of the kingdom of God here in this world. And so when Jesus said that no one here would pass away until my words, these words are fulfilled, he meant it, because the kingdom of God came with his death, resurrection, and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit to found and birth the church. My brothers and sisters, Christ came in glory, the glory of the Holy Spirit, to found the church, to be the kingdom of God in this world. But it doesn't stop there. How does he end this? He says, "Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." We live in a time of great fighting, of great pain, of great anguish, of great uncertainty. Just look at Palestine. Look at Israel today. Look at the fighting that is going on there. I heard on the radio just the other day that they're not going to have the Christmas Eve services and the Christmas Day services in Bethlehem this year because it is too dangerous for people to be out and about, especially at night in that region. Such a sad story. In such a sad state that our world is in and that the Holy Land is in, that the violence and the eruption of violence in that area would cause us to not be able, to not be safe in celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace. And yet we can't, because of the danger to the life that the fighting there today would bring. We live in a time of great violence, but this is not new. We have lived in violence for thousands of years. This church, the community of faith, those who are Christians, have lived in violence with violence for 1970 years. And I believe we will continue to live with violence. For, my friends, we have a duty. Our duty is to bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, the reign of God's peace, God's grace, to this world. What else did Jesus say? He said, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. For it will come, the kingdom of God will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth." Does that mean everybody who was alive then? Everybody who's alive today? Everybody who has lived since then until now? And tomorrow too? I think so. This says here that we, as the kingdom of God in this world, are called to take this message of the reign of Christ to all the world. We are responsible for bringing the situation, for bringing the condition, for bringing the world to hear and to know about the peace and the love and the grace and the power and the majesty of Jesus. We, as embassies of Christ, we as manifestations of the kingdom of God here in this world, we as ambassadors of Christ are called to go outside these embassies in the face of opposition, in the face of the violence, in the face of the hatred, in the face of those who would wish to silence us. We're called to go out these doors and proclaim the reign of the Prince of Peace. And we, my friends, are called to bring in the kingdom of God. We are called to speak the gospel of Jesus to all the world, so that everyone on this world will hear and know and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in so doing, the whole world will see Him in glory, just as we do today. That is our calling as Christians. That is the message and the duty that we have. And that is what this Advent calls us to do. This season is a new beginnings. It's the new church year. This season is a time of new beginnings, a time of transformation and preparation. Not just to celebrate a big birthday party, but to celebrate the coming of the one who can transform the whole world, so that violence, pain and anguish, hunger and fear need not reign ever again. We are called in this season of preparation to prepare our hearts to receive again the love of the Christ child incarnate in our midst. We are called to bring that love to all the world, so that He whom we see in glory right now, our Lord and Savior Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, He might be seen by everyone outside those doors. Imagine what it would be like if by our expression, if by our living, if by our being the community of faith here today, others might see and know Jesus in glory, offering His grace, to forgive, to heal, to transform, and to take home. My brothers and sisters, be not swayed into fanciful speculations about things like raptures and tribulations and antichrists. Rather, be focused on the core of the gospel. Be focused on the message of God's grace and peace and forgiveness. Be focused on the message that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins by the blood of the Lamb. Let us focus on the message of this Advent season, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Let us focus on the core of our message and be part of God's bringing the kingdom of God to this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.